This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're right on the cusp, wrapping up hour number one, getting into hour number two of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Dell, are we doing a handoff here at some point with you and Aaron, or are you going to just hang in there like Nick does with us?
No, I'm here now.
Oh,
we're in the middle
of
changing over. I'm wiping down the board and getting everything set up.
I can't tell the difference. You both sound really, really
educated. Don't say it.
Wow. What was that?
Okay.
I was making a joke, Aaron, because we found out that Dale skipped a grade. He's Mr. Smarty Pants.
He graduated when he was 16, Aaron. What do you got?
Holy crap.
Yeah, what is your dumbass doing with your life?
A lot less, but Dell just pointed out, I'm still doing the same job he is, so how far did that take him?
Well played, Dell. Well played.
Well,
welcome, Aaron.
We appreciate Dell. We appreciate even more the fact he didn't say goodbye. So Aaron's in for the next 2 hours, and then he's got his show, The Blitz. So we're going to get into a whole bunch of other things. We were talking NFL, but I think the news of the day around the NFL is centered around none other than Howard Stern, Barry, because everybody's trying to get interviews to jazz up their shows and what have you. Tom Brady agreed to do the Howard Stern show today. And I don't know what's more shocking, some of the quotes he had, because I think a lot of it you kind of expected. But he dropped a couple of cuss bombs, and I was like, oh, Tommy, didn't expect to hear that coming from Tom Brady, but he felt comfortable with Howard Stern. I don't know if you caught any of it.
I did not. Did he? I think I got the gist of what he was discussing. But yeah, that is kind of out of character for him to start dropping curse words on air because he's so buttoned up and so prim and proper, but. I know there was a lot of stuff that came out of it, including the fact that he knew he was going to leave well before he announced it.
Yeah, I mean, here's the one quote when they were talking about his and Belichick situation and, like, it, you know, did they win because of Brady? Did they win because of Belichick? And he said, I think it's all pretty S-word. It's an S-word argument, actually, that people would say that because, again, I can't do his job, he can't do mine. So the fact you could say, would I be successful without him? The same level of success, I don't believe I would have been. But I feel the same vice versa as well. And I think that makes sense. I think that a lot of people just looking to try and create dialogue for talk radio and TV and other things are going to get into that. But the fact of the matter is, the most successful situations in a team format are when everything comes together. And everybody has a role in taking a team to a certain level. So it is pretty crappy to say that, well, all the success of the Patriots is either one or the other, but it can't be both. I think that's ridiculous to me.
Yeah. I think I brought that point up a while back that it is the debate. It's always been the debate when you're that successful with a head coach and a franchise QB that could one do it without the other. I mean, hell, there's always been that debate, right? But there's nothing wrong with saying, well, they helped each other, like Brady was saying, and there's nothing wrong with saying they needed each other because, you know, Belichick was with the Browns and it didn't go all that well. So
right.
He had an opportunity at the time and it wasn't great. And it wasn't until he got to New England and got Brady that he started looking like a genius. And Brady was a 7th-round pick. Nobody wanted that cat. But, he was a backup. He didn't even win the job out of camp. So Belichick probably helped him and elevated him and made him better, too. So they needed each other. And there's nothing wrong with that being the answer.
No, I agree. And I think that, you know, I think because of the situation we're in right now in the world and with the nation, people are still putting way too much into all this. Look, divorces happen, you know, separations happen from friendships to relationships. Not all of them last forever. And so from a Patriots perspective, from either guy's perspective, the writing is on the wall for the rest of their careers. They are winners. They were both a part of probably the greatest dynasty in our lifetime we will ever see on the football field, and they should be credited for that. But now, if one or both choose to go in another direction, don't hate them for that, because that's what makes the world go round. So if Brady said, I knew this was going to be my last year, and I was looking for a new situation, a new challenge, go ahead. And now everybody's interested to see how it goes, and he gets a fresh start where maybe he gets rejuvenated, a little bit more pep in his step. Because we all know the other thing is, too, is that we all get into our own routines. And when the guys have been together for two decades, you know the routine when you kick it up to get ready for training camp, when you kick it up for the regular season, how you do the meetings, how you do these things. I think it's going to be interesting on both sides of the equation to see how it all plays out, but I don't think anybody is any lesser for the fact that they are not going to do it and finish their career together.
Yeah. And I certainly don't expect the same results from either of them now that they've moved on and split up. I mean, just put that on.
Well, of the two teams, I think the Tampa Bay will have a better season this year than the Patriots will. But that's just because of the fact that from top to bottom, there's more talent on the Tampa roster than there is on New England's roster. And New England's quarterback situation is up in the air, when the one thing that is more solidified than ever before is the Buccaneers quarterback situation.
Right. Well, yeah, depending on, you know, how much older does Brady play? You're right. He's got the most talent he's had around him in forever. And that includes when he had Gronk, because he's got multiple weapons and not just a weapon with a bunch of role players that do their job and do it well, but they're not studs. Like, he's got legit stud players around him to go to, and not just one. So it's, you know, we'll see if that elevates his play at his age anymore. And we'll see what Belichick does with a roster offensively that could be one of the 10 worst offenses in football. Let's be real. I mean, this could be a bad offensive team. I think they're going to be very good defensively. I think a Bill Belichick head coach team is going to always be good defensively.
You say that, though, Barry, but they lost some really key pieces. I mean, Calvin Noyes went
to
Miami.
They lose key pieces every year, though.
That's true.
They do. I mean, Belichick is a wizard when it comes to replacing guys with people that you go, huh? Well, good luck with that. And then by the end of the year, you're like, damn, that's a good defensive football team, or damn, that's a good football team, period.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, that's, again, the intrigue of both guys going in different directions. So we'll see how both teams fare. The one thing that was interesting that Nick put out there was the fact that Stern asked Brady about Trump wanting Brady to marry Ivanka, and I had never heard that before. So, Aaron, I think that's loaded up. Do you have that audio? Okay, because, yeah, that's the one that I was, like, scratching my temple going, I mean, I know Trump's a different kind of dude and everything like that, but now he's, what, arranging a marriage with Tom Brady? That's just crazy to
Brady,
me.
Brady, I would like for you to marry my daughter and spread your seeds so that she could have your babies and they would be the perfect specimen. That's weird.
We could sit and have Coronas. Have some Coronas.
I feel like Trump would be good with an arranged marriage. Like, he'd be like, yep, nope, that's good. Let's do that. If it can't be me, I'd rather it be Tom Brady. When it comes to my daughter, if I can't marry her,
maybe he picked Jared Kushner. You don't know.
That dude.
I don't know. Nick had it on the rundown, but I was told, I was checking with Dell before, that we had the quotes from Brady on Stern this morning, but it's okay. I mean, the gist of it is obviously that Trump tried to set up Tom Brady. It didn't work out, obviously, for a lot of reasons, but hey, you know, the fact that he went out and did Howard Stern, I give him credit, because that's already kind of out of the Tom Brady box, because it's not something he would normally do. You know, normally everything is calculated, everything is controlled, you know, every interview he does. The fact that he was out there dropping some S-bombs and chopping it up with Howard Stern, I give him credit for that. I like that side of Tom Brady. I'd like to see more of it.
Yeah, no doubt. It's cool when you see a guy who's been so straight-laced and you're worried about his image, a la a guy like Tiger Woods or even Michael Jordan, when they let their guard down a little bit and show you who they really are. Mm-hmm. Fans appreciate that more. Fans gravitate to that more. And I think Brady knows now, hey, look, new team, new city, new me. This is how I am, and this is the real Tom Brady. And that would be great if it holds true. I don't think it will, because he still has a brand and an image to uphold and to make money off of. But it is nice every once in a while to see a different side of somebody.
Well, no doubt, because you think about it too, with the whole, what was it, a Facebook show where every, you know, he kissed his son on the mouth, and the way he was dealing with his kids, everybody was like critiquing that and giving him a bunch of grief and then saying he was too much of a goody-goody. Well, this is the other side of it. This humanizes him more. This makes people like him. The fact that he's not afraid to shoot the crap with Howard Stern and cuss and act like one of the guys instead of always kind of being above everybody and holier than thou. So I give him credit for doing it, and I don't think he's lost any credibility with anybody. In fact, he's probably gained some fans because of it.
I can see that, yeah.
Speaking of Tiger Woods, by the way, did you see that last night that he did? This would be Masters Week. If you don't know, turn on ESPN, because all they're going to do is run every bit of highlights that they have from anything that's ever happened at Augusta. But because traditionally, last night would have been the night of the champions dinner, where the reigning champion gets to pick the menu and then everybody sits down to eat. Well, because of the situation with the coronavirus, Tiger Woods posted pictures of him and his kids and his dog and his dogs having their own version of the champions dinner. Still served the same food. He did wear the green jacket and had the winner's trophy, but it was just the family kicking it in the backyard. Good for him. I miss the Masters greatly, Barry, but
I know that, you that do, was pretty buddy. Cool. It's hanging there. You know, we're going to get through this together, pal. And yeah, I want you to know.
Well,
I'm
the
here
thing
for
is,
you,
at least
I love
they
you.
Didn't cancel it. I mean, yeah. Postponed is fine with me.
Keep telling
to
yourself
November.
That.
Well, but I think November, there's a good chance we'll see him play it. Whether there's a gallery or not is a different story. But the fact that, you know, you see the British Open just go, yeah, we're done. We're pulling the plug. It's over. That sucks. Because now there's no, you got to
well,
keep
somebody
hope
was,
alive. There's no hope now.
I think it was Senior Sprinkler on Twitter brought up the fact that getting the greens ready in November is going to be a whole different kind of thing,
it
too,
is.
For the Masters. Like, yeah. Overseeding and all the stuff that they do in preparations based on timing. And you know, I'm not trying to wedge in lawn talk on your golf talk, because God knows we both hate the other topic. But you know, there are certain times of year where it's more conducive to grow grass. And right now in the spring is absolutely the best time and displays the best greens and the best fairways. And you can get the rough exactly the way you want it. And so that's going to be a whole, you know, depending on what they use and how it could be dormant. It could be brown. It could be ugly. And no one's ever seen the Masters like that.
No, that's the other thing. But think about it from a player's perspective. There's a reason why Tiger Woods, in my mind, is always going to be a favorite, because you play it in the same time of year every year, and it's the same course, and they rarely make any changes. And it's so much about being able to put the ball in the right places. Tiger knows every spot, where to hit it, where not to hit it, how to hit it in certain spots. And because, like you're saying, he knows what the greens are going to do. He knows the fairways are going to be a certain way. Well, that's all fine in April. But as you put it, now in November, now no one has an advantage, because you're playing it totally different. It's almost like playing a different course, because of the fact that the conditions are going to be so much different than what they would be in April in Georgia. So that's going to be interesting to see how everybody has to adjust to what amounts to a totally different setup for everybody when they go to Augusta.
Yeah, going to find out.
In short time, they're going to find out. So a little golf talk for you, Josh Rapp and others, on the way out. But we're going to continue
you're welcome,
to roll.
Josh.
We're in hour number two of the 3-hour show. Still plenty more to get to. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest and share with us, 713-780-3776. That is the HRP listener line. We love hearing from you, the suspects. It's right here. Barry, myself, and now Aaron Raybould, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Something new.
You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sciarra.
You heard the man, Aaron Raybould, in for Nick. As we continue to roll on a Way Back Wednesday, hour number two is Nick's list on a Way Back. Songs that remind you of your high school days, and obviously Nick just a little whippersnapper compared to us, so he's going to have a more modern list. We were talking a lot of football today. Yes.
Yeah, and speaking of Tom Brady, one of the only two unanimous decisions, or no, there was eight unanimous selections to the NFL all-decade team.
Yep.
Brady was among them. I thought it was just him and one other, but it was Brady was a unanimous selection to the NFL all-decade team. It was J.J. Watt. So go Texans. And Adrian Peterson were three. I think the others were Von Miller, Aaron Donald, Joe Thomas, Marshall Yanda, and Justin Tucker.
That is correct.
Yes. So there's your eight.
The other Texan to make it
team.
Was a
valuable. Was he a former Texan now?
He's a former Texan now. This is the crazy part that'll make it either easy or difficult for you. This is his second time on an all-decade team.
That's great. That's so funny. People would never
Shane
guess this
Leckler.
In a million years. Yeah.
Shane Leckler, the punter, makes the all-decade team for the second time in his career. That means he's had one hell of a long career. Kudos to him. But from a Texans perspective, he and JJ, the only two on the team, but both very much deservedly so, get selected for that.
Let me give you just a quick rundown of the ones that kind of really matter the most, because there's some, like, no one cares about the all-decade offensive line, right? And just to get it out of the way, Darren Sproles was your flex all-defensive or all offensive player of the year.
Right,
your flex
right.
position, which is weird. But, okay, so your quarterbacks are Brady and Rodgers. You go with that?
Mm-hmm. I'm fantastic.
I don't believe anybody
that.
Else was.
Oh, there's Drew another
Brees
one that
deserves
a,
an all-decade yeah. team?
Well, so, and here's the thing. So, in terms of Drew had slightly more yards and slightly more touchdowns. Rodgers had a Super Bowl win during that time and two MVPs. Breezed it. So it's kind of like, are you going with more yards and touchdowns? Are you going with MVPs and Super Bowls? So I'm not going to tell you that Drew Brees didn't deserve it as well. I'm not that kind of fan. But I think that, you know, you couldn't go wrong either way with whoever's going to back up Brady.
I would agree. Your wide receivers were Antonio Brown, Larry Fitzgerald, Calvin Johnson, and Julio Jones.
It's pretty damn good.
Yeah. I mean, you can... If you want to argue that DeAndre Hopkins got snubbed, I would listen, but
you got to have it's years in the decade too. I mean, you know, he was a little bit later in the decade as well, so that's going to hurt him.
True that, true that. Where the hell did it go? Your running backs or your tight ends, excuse me, Gronkowski and Travis Kelce. So I'm good with that. I don't think there's any changes that need to be made there. And your running backs, and I love this so much, but your running backs are Adrian Peterson, who was unanimous, LeSean McCoy, okay, Marshawn Lynch, okay, and Frank Gore. And I love the fact that Frank Gore made this list because he's the most underrated and underappreciated football player on the planet, I think. There's so many people that sleep on what Frank Gore did and does.
Dude.
Year
the
in,
day that he goes rolling
out.
Into the Hall of Fame, and it's going to be by a very large percentage, people are going to be like, who? He made what? Because you're right.
Yeah.
No one really takes the time to appreciate just how great and for how long Frank Gore has been.
Yep. And so I'm really happy to see him on this list.
No, I'm totally
with defensive,
you.
Your defensive ends, Calais Campbell, Cameron Jordan, Julius Peppers, and J.J. Watt, who was unanimous. Tackles were Geno Atkins, Fletcher Cox, Aaron Donald, and Ndamukong Suh. You good with the defensive line selections?
Yep. Yeah.
All right. And then there's a lot of linebackers, obviously. Corners is the more sexy stuff. Patrick Peterson, Darrell Revis, and Richard Sherman. made the cornerbacks list.
Yep.
I'm kind of surprised that Richard Sherman wasn't unanimous, to be honest with you.
Yeah, a lot of some people still think that he can't tackle and doesn't like to. But okay. I think just from a straight cover standpoint, I think Revis is head and shoulders above anybody. Maybe the greatest to ever do it
right.
all around.
But for the decade, I mean, who was the most talked about corner in the 2010s? It was Richard Sherman because of the Legion of Boom and what he did in Seattle.
But take it to another level, Barry. And it was postseason because Patrick Peterson is an unbelievable athlete and a fantastic corner. But if he didn't sniff multiple postseason huge games, big plays, things like that, you sleep on him. And Richard Sherman on the biggest moments, on the biggest stages, always stepped up. So I hear what you're saying.
Your all-decade punters, just kidding. Yeah, but yeah, Shane Leckler and Johnny Hecker. And then your kickers was Gostkowski and Justin Tucker, who was a unanimous choice. Obviously, punt returners, Tyreek Hill, Darren Sproles.
Derek Sproles, another guy, again, that people are going to sleep on, and they think he was just like a gadget guy and a special teams guy. He's a guy that may walk into the Hall of Fame someday, too. When you remember, we've talked about this in the past. He's like top 10 all-time in total yards and all these different things that people don't really associate him with. He had one hell of a career.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
Well, so we'll see how it all plays out. But
the last one is the coaches. Bill Belichick, duh. Mm-hmm. And Pete Carroll.
Yeah, Pete Carroll. I guess.
I mean, you go with that? Because remember now, look, didn't Sean Payton win his Super Bowl in 2010, which by Breeze's year, so that he would have one in the decade as well, technically.
No, because I don't think they won it. Did they win it in 2010?
Hold on.
I'd have to look that up. But again, Pete Carroll, how many have the Seahawks won under Pete Carroll? One, right?
Yeah. Saints won their Super Bowl February 7th, 2010.
So it's essentially the 2009 season that culminates right early in 2010.
Yeah, but it happened in that decade.
Well, when I saw the side-by-side comparison of the two guys, they did not give Breeze credit for a Super Bowl that year. So I don't know how they draw the line there. But I think that as long as Pete Carroll didn't win multiples, then there should be lots of cool coaches that should be up for that. And then you got to take into consideration, he got another one that they could have won that they lost to the Patriots. But there was plenty of other teams that had a good run for a good couple of years. I guess because the Seahawks happened later in the decade, they get more credit. But you can go up and down that list of the last 10 years and figure out there was a lot of good coaches, not just Pete Carroll. To me, first of all, his gum chewing is annoying, but that's a side note. But I think he gets too much credit sometimes.
Because he does a good job of putting good people around him, but that's every head coach's job, really. I mean, make sure you have the right people in place to make you look good. Bill O'Brien, pay attention. But I'd be curious to see head-to-head what their records were for the decade. So I'm Googling it right now. What was Pete Carroll's record for the 2010s versus Sean Payton's? Because that's, to me, that's who I could have made the case for either way. Let's see here. So, yeah, I don't know. Sean Payton, did he have any losing? Yeah, he had three losing seasons in the decade. He went 7-9, 7-9, 7-9 from 2014 to 2016. Pete Carroll had one losing season. Wow.
Yeah,
no,
I mean,
I'm sorry, two losing seasons to start the decade. 2010, he was 7-9. 2011, he was 7-9. He missed the playoffs twice, including the first year in 2010. He made the playoffs at 7-9, which is awful. But he missed the playoffs twice. Sean Payton missed the playoffs three times in the decade. So maybe that's why he gets the edge.
And I'm looking at the list too, and it says clearly for the Saints win in 2010, it's for the 2009 season. Packers get the first one of the decade in 2010, and then for the decade. Your winning Super Bowl teams, Packers, Giants, Ravens, Seahawks, Patriots, Broncos, Patriots, Eagles, Patriots, Chiefs. So
I'm
if
just
that's
saying, it occurred in February 2010, Joel.
Barry, I'm saying I'm looking at how the criteria, because I'm looking at this list, and in parentheses it says the date the Super Bowl was won and in which year or decade it falls in, and it says in parentheses for the Saints 2009. So I'm just going by what I'm reading, but I'm also telling you the reason why Pete Carroll would be justified is because when you look at that list right there and you realize that Pete Carroll made multiple Super Bowl appearances and did what he did, I can see why he would be considered, you know, to have a leg up on the competition because, you know, in looking at the losing team in those Super Bowls, Patriots obviously, again, are going to appear twice. And then you have Steelers, Niners, Broncos, Panthers, Falcons, Rams, Niners. So, yeah, I mean, there's not any second, you know, for second choice, there's not like any dominating stats that you can go, oh, it's got to be that guy. So I guess it was kind of just a popularity contest.
Yeah, Pete Carroll won 100 games in the 2010s and the decade. It's pretty stout.
That's pretty good. Yeah, if you're averaging 10 wins a year, you're doing something.
Yeah, I wonder.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Another name that would pop into my head is a Mike Tomlin, but it just doesn't. I mean, his Super Bowl was 2008, and
yeah, he lost. Know,
he,
in did, 10.
He missed the playoffs like four times in the decade. But damn, they seem so dominant. I guess, but
well. That'll do it for the first half of the show. And boy, do I got something to give to you, Barry Laminack, to start the second half of the show. Because Matt Rhule, who said what a tough decision it was to give up Cam Newton and go in another direction and all these different things, I'm going to tell you right now he's blowing smoke up your ass because now he has some comments today that are going to make everybody to think from the get-go Cam Newton was never in the mix. We'll open up the second half of the show with that and a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Look at all the bullshit that goes on in Gotham
when I'm going. Time to get rid of these rats. Years of research and innovation. Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Put me in a special school, 'cause I am such a fool. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Here comes the second half of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, myself, and Aaron Raybould. As Nick is playing it safe, as well he should, and staying home. To make sure that he stays away from the Rona. You know how we like to do it around here, Barry? We always give kudos to suspects that are doing great things in the community. And a good friend of ours, our man Steve, the hotel guy, who during the year is so great about telling us where to go on road trips and have so much fun with us. Well, he's having a really good time today because they are doing some great things over at the Houstonian. If you haven't heard, and I also might add, for all of you that listen to the show that are first responders, because we know you're out there, we know you guys listen a lot, this may be perfect for you, but the Houstonian is doing something great. They are handing out meals free to first responders from 11 a.m. this morning until 7 o'clock tonight. They got a 12-foot grill. They're handing out barbecue. They're doing it the right way, as they always do, first class, and taking care of the people that mean the most to us right now with everything going on. Steve, welcome to the show. Thank you for what you do. We miss you, buddy.
Hey, guys. How are y'all? Great to hear your voices. Hope you're safe.
Yes, we hope you are too. But tell the peeps a little bit about what's going on there today. I gave an overview. But I can't say enough how much we thank you for doing it for all the people that we want to thank, because no one deserves something like this more than the fine people that are on the front lines for us right now here in Houston.
Yeah, Joel, you know, we couldn't agree more, and we're so fortunate to be working for such a great privately owned company. We've been out in the community for about 2 weeks now, serving not only first responders at firehouses and police stations, but also homeless shelters. We've been down in the Med Center, Memorial Hermann, serving them as well, delivering masks to them. And we wanted to do something right here that we could really do mass production. And so we got here about 3 o'clock in the morning and fired up the pit, cooked off 50 briskets. And as you mentioned a few minutes ago, we've been serving barbecue since about 10:30 this morning. We've got a lot left, so any first responders out there listening, please come by the Houstonian Hotel, 111 North Post Oak Lane. We'd love to see you and treat you to lunch or dinner.
Man, that's absolutely spectacular, Steve. And then also the other more important thing, because obviously it's front of mind, top of mind with everybody right now these days, but you're also obviously practicing social distancing and doing things the right way. Kind of walk people through how it's going there.
Well, we're no different than most hotels. We actually stopped taking reservations about 2 weeks ago, and we dwindled the last few guests down. So last Friday, we had our last two guests depart. And so actually, we have no occupied rooms, and we just felt like that was the safest thing for our staff, our club members, and any other guests that might check into the hotel. So that was a decision we made internally. You know, when it comes to food service, we are buttoned up with all of the CDC and City of Houston regulations, requirements, and recommendations, and we're following those absolutely to the T. So that's going real well, and we're serving a lot of food.
And I mean, when you're serving the when you're serving the barbecue to the first responders and everybody that's pulling up, you guys are doing it in a very, very meticulous fashion, safety first. The way you're doing it still allows everybody to realize they're gonna be safe and sound. They're gonna get a great meal, and it's just a matter of the way you're going about it to make sure that everybody's taken care of the right way.
Yeah, absolutely. We're using masks. We're using gloves. I mean, most of the first responders that are coming through are all in gloves and masks, and so we're completely safe and happy to have everybody coming through here. It's been just such a privilege for us to spend the day serving those that serve us here in our city.
And you guys are still going to doing to-go meals because people love the
food
there.
We are out of Tribute. Yeah, absolutely. Tribute, we're serving meals 7 days a week. And as you probably know, we've got a private health club with about 5,000 memberships or about 15,000 members. So we're staying quite busy serving them through this. And so we're all in good spirits over here and having a great time, making the best of it and looking for every opportunity to serve our city.
Well, we appreciate you, my friend. And we want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for what you're doing for the people that really deserve a little extra right now. And we want you to be safe, stay healthy, and we can't wait to have you back on the air when we get back to normal.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having us on today, guys. And I miss everybody there in the studio, and I'm looking forward to football season. You guys
stay safe,
take care of your families.
You do the same, Steve. We appreciate you. There you go, Steve Fronterhouse, otherwise known as the Hotel Guy, our guy at the Houstonian, and the Houstonian doing some great things in the community to take care of the first responders. Barry, I know you appreciate that with Nora doing everything that she's doing too. I think that a lot of people are so worried about themselves right now that they forget and lose sight of how many people are putting their butts on the line every single day by dealing with this virus on the front lines.
Yeah, no doubt. It's always nice when you meet people, you know.
Is Barry there?
He was. We might have lost him. Let me check.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, Barry will be back with us momentarily. But, again, great things by the Houstonian. We appreciate them. Fantastic. I know the Astros are doing a deal today with dropping off personal protective equipment. So if anything from masks to protective shields to gloves, there you can drop them off on the left field gate of Minute Maid Park, so that they can get all those gathered up and distribute them to the right folks that need them the most. So a lot of people doing a lot of great things in the city of Houston to make sure that everybody's taken care of. The numbers stay down and people stay safe. And that's exactly what you're seeing right now with some of the efforts of people like the people at the Astros, the Houstonian, and in other places. So we do appreciate them. Aaron, let me know when Barry gets back on board. Okay. So, Barry, I mean, we lost sight. I don't want to lose sight of the fact that because your wife, Nora, is knee-deep in all of this, too, that you know the value of these first responders that people are kind of losing sight of.
Man, let me tell you what. When it comes to stuff like that, they're beyond appreciative. I mean, I know some of the stuff that has been done for Nora and others, and, you know, she's not, like I say, she's not on the front lines. I don't want to give people the wrong impression, but she's still in there and she's still fighting the fight. And I know that when things happen like this, like what Steve and the Houstonian are doing, it's always appreciated. And I think it's appreciated by the communities too. Whenever I see any business that stops and takes the time and money and effort to give back to the people that are out there trying to protect us all, it's outstanding, man. And it's all about community. But I expected nothing less from Steve and the Houstonian. They're just they're top notch, man. Steve is a first class dude. He runs a first class organization. So I'm not surprised in the least that they're out there doing that.
For sure, for sure. And we appreciate him. And he said he can't wait to get back in the studio. We can't wait to have him. So we'll get back to business at some point and get him back in here on the usual suspects. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I wanted to circle back to something because somebody took umbrage with our discussion about Frank Gore.
Oh, I'm responding right now.
And they were like, all Frank Gore did, he was average. All Frank Gore did... So it was Pepper, and he put, Frank Gore is Hall of Fame? Question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark. I mean, it wasn't that big of a deal. You didn't have to put four question marks, Pepper. But he said, all he's done for 15 years is stay healthy and be average to slightly above average. No rushing titles, no MVPs, no All-Pro honors except for one second-team honor. He's been average for a long time. That's it. Yeah, so let's just take that into account, right? So Frank Gore... on the career rushing touchdown list is 21st with 79. He'll be top 20 when all said and done. But where do you think he ranks on the career rushing yards list? Third.
Top five.
No, third, Joel. More than Barry Sanders. More than Adrian Peterson. More than LaDainian Tomlinson. More than Eric Dickerson. Tony Dorsett. Jim Brown. Marshall Faulk. Marcus Allen. Franco Harris. I mean, there are two people in the world that have rushed for more yards than Frank Gore. One is Emmitt Smith and the other is Walter Payton. So stop it with the average.
Yeah. No, and that's simple. That's exactly what I said. I said, you can blow that horn as loud as you want, looking for all the ways to poke holes in his career and his numbers, but the stats don't lie. And when you look at his career numbers, and we know how important that is when selecting people to go to the Hall of Fame, and you realize that, as you mentioned, not even top five, top three with all the greatest running backs of all time that have played this game, and you're going to tell me that you're going to try and keep him out of the Hall of Fame? Get the hell out of here.
Now, let me tell you.
That's like hating on Vince Carter for playing too many years in the NBA.
That's exactly right. That's what the argument's going to be is, oh, well, Barry Sanders is fourth, and he did it in 9 years, and he's only 100 yards behind Frank Gore. So you're going to punish him for longevity in a sport where the average career is 4 to 5 years? You're going to punish Frank Gore because he lasted 14, 15 years in the NFL at a position, mind you, whose average lifespan is probably 3 to 4 years? So don't punish Frank Gore because he has longevity. And you could be in this league for 14 or 15 years and just not put up numbers, but he has. And he's been good enough to stick around that long. He's durable. He's reliable. And he's still top 20 or will be top 20 in touchdowns. So.
As the saying is, don't hate the player, hate the game. Because he played the game, played it the right way, was able to play it for a long enough period of time. And whether you think he's deserving or not, the numbers aren't going to lie. He's going to go into the Hall someday. And you tip your cap to him going, man, as you said, look, he made that all-decade team for a reason. Because quiet is kept amongst the media and other people. The players and the people that really know the game know. And he deserves to be both. Yeah, on that all-decade team and going to the Hall of Fame someday. So there you have it with the Frank Gore situation. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about Apollo Men's Health. A lot of you guys are out there right now. You're struggling to find the energy. You got the family now. You got to do a bunch of things around the house, maybe with the kids, or you want to be going to the gym and taking advantage of this time off, and you just can't because you just can't get that get up and go to get up and get to the gym. You're low on energy. You can't find that kind of that fifth gear. Well, Apollo Men's Health is here to help. They're open during everything that we're going through right now. They're in Lake Jackson, and they're in Pearland, and they have all the different methods to try and put a little pep in your step. Simply put, they have testosterone therapy in the clinic, and they also have non-traditional methods or new traditional methods, cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy. It reduces your weekly visits with everything going around with your schedule these days. You don't have to go in weekly, but still does the same things to maintain your overwellness in a more convenient way. They also offer body composition analysis, HGH peptide therapy, everything to increase your quality of life. Remember, your health is your wealth. Invest in yourself. 832-664 $94.99 or go to their website, apollomh.com, to book your first appointment. Most major insurance accepted. Discounts for military and personnel and first responders. Go see them, Apollo Men's Health.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number two of the three-hour show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It is Barry. It is myself, Joel. Aaron Raybould filling in for Nick. Nick is playing it safe for a while and staying close to the home front. I don't blame him for that.
No, not at all. There was a text from St. Patrick, which I guess you can imagine what this is going to be about. But he said Breeze got snubbed for the NFL Top 100 also.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, I don't know if that's true or not.
I don't know either because I really didn't pay that much attention to that show. But, I mean... Again, we were just talking about Frank Gore. You want to talk about just sheer numbers, and he also has the hardware to back it up, too, and the longevity. But Drew Brees is going to basically be in the top three of pretty much every passing category when all is said and done. I don't know how you pass on that.
Yeah, this is it's a fact. I Googled it, and the first headline is the fact that Drew Brees didn't make it makes the NFL all-time 100 all-time team a joke. Here's your 10 quarterbacks on the NFL all-time 100 team, who would you bump out? Sammy Baugh, Otto Graham, Johnny Unitas, Roger Staubach, Joe Montana, Dan Marino, John Elway, Brett Favre, Peyton Manning, and Tom Brady.
I mean, it's a pretty staunch list, but I mean, and obviously people are going to poke holes in the older guys because we never saw them play and it was a different type of football.
Sure. Who are you taking out? If you're going to include,
I'm going to say the one name that just gut feeling stuck out to me right away as one that I went, but it's Roger Staubach.
Same. And I don't know where he ranks amongst NFL quarterbacks, but it never seemed sexy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, they were always there. They had the great rivalry with the Steelers. He's another guy had a long run. But unless you're talking about sheer just hardware and Super Bowl titles, and that means more, I understand when they're making the list, they want a good cross section. They don't want to sell short the people, like we said, that we never saw play, and they don't want to top load it with just all modern current players. But when you look at the numbers, you look at the fact that he's 1-2, he's a class act. Both the guys are class acts. To me, Roger Staubach was a hell of a leader. And he was the quarterback of a great team, but he didn't do anything like extraordinary that makes me go, yeah, he's as good as Montana and Elway and guys like that.
Where do you think Roger Staubach ranks amongst the NFL quarterbacks in passing yards?
It's low. And, you know, but it's also unfair, Barry, because when you think about him and Bradshaw and guys like that, the NFL's so pass happy these days that the stats are going to be so much more inflated with more modern-type guys. They didn't pass it that much back.
Okay, so if I told you that Neil Lomax threw for more yards than Roger Staubach, would you be like, what the hell?
I'd believe that.
That's a fact. And that was not in a pass-happy era. That was 1981 to 1988. Neil Lomax threw for 22,771 yards. Staubach threw for 22,700 exactly.
Some yeah, the Cardinals were more of a passing team where the Cowboys were more balanced.
Okay, Otto Graham threw for more yards than Roger Staubach. And
that's
was
why he's on the damn list, Barry. That's a slam dunk. I knew
but that's
that.
My point. He was 46 to 55, okay? They didn't even throw the ball back then.
True.
Lynn Dickey, Bernie Kosar.
Hey, now!
Kosar, Mark Bulger, or Bulger, whatever they have. Derek Carr
Bulger,
has
you're
more.
Right.
Derek Carr has more passing yards than Roger Staubach. Bro,
don't diss the Dickey.
Lynn Dickey has more passing yards than Roger
now,
Staubach.
Now, he's a double whammy for you people because he is a Packer and an Oiler back in the day.
Yeah.
Lynn Dickey, come on now.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm sorry, but this is Archie Manning has more. Steve Berline. This is your king. This is your king.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you know who has more passing yards than Drew Brees? Nobody.
Yep.
Not a single person on the planet can say they've thrown for more passing yards, but yet the dude who's 94th on the list is going to make it. Get out of here. Scram, beat it, kids. That's not.
Yep.
Nope.
And how many? Staubach had what? 2 Super Bowl wins?
Don't catch me lying.
I can look it up. I mean, again,
he had 2-time Super Bowl champion, 6-time Pro Bowl. He was the 1971 Burt Bell Award winner. Well, of course. I mean, who doesn't love a Burt Bell Award winner? I don't even know what the hell the Burt Bell Award is.
So the only thing he has over Brees is 2 titles to 1. Other than that, I don't know.
He has 153 touchdowns for his career. What do you want to guess Drew Brees has? Do you know offhand?
Yeah, right in my back pocket. No.
547.
Oof. Wow.
Now, 547. Career completion
getting
percentage.
Getting to my point about how it's a pass-happy offense. I mean, the league right now. The other night, they did a marathon on NFL Network on receivers for A Football Life, and they did our good friend Keenan McCardell along with Jimmy Smith. When those two guys retired, Smith was number 7, mm-hmm. and Keenan was number 9 all time in yards and in a lot of statistical categories. And then the floodgates just opened. Manning and the Colts with Marvin Harrison and those guys, Reggie Wayne, and then the Rams with the greatest show on turf. And it's just gotten more and more to where I don't know where they sit now, but I guarantee you in just a few years, they've gone from top 10 to probably barely hanging on to like top 20, 30.
Well, okay, so you're gonna ding Drew Brees? Because let's think about it.
No. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Drew Brees. I'm just saying the game has shifted. It's like everything else. Basketball shifted too. It used to be a big man's league, and now it's a 3-point shooting league. Well, in football, you know, it used to be pound the football and balance at best, and now it's a pass happy league. I'm just saying. Even when we go, it's skewed even when we say we're going solely by the numbers because the game has changed to where yards are going to be and receiving yards and passing yards are going to be way inflated from if you played in the 70s or the 80s, maybe even the 90s.
The only thing that I would say is if you look at something like completion percentage, right? So Roger Staubach completed 57% of his passes. Mm-hmm. That's not that good. Drew Brees completes 67.6% of his passes.
Yeah.
He's 10 percentage points better per pass attempt. So,
but again, Barry, the other factor
it doesn't matter
is
on how many, because if you doubled Roger Staubach's completion percentage, he's still not going to have. If you doubled all of his numbers, if you doubled Roger Staubach's numbers, like. Completely, right? He plays in 262 games just to make it a fair shake because Brees has played in 275. Even if you doubled Staubach's numbers, it's still not better than.
But again, I'm not disagreeing with the fact that Brees should be on the list, and if there's a guy I'm taking off, it's Staubach. But the last point I'll make on the difference in the game that affects those numbers too is the quarterbacks are so hyper-protected now, you can't lay a finger on them. Back in the day, you could release the ball and count 1-1,000, 2-1,000, and still get smashed to oblivion by a defensive guy, and no one's throwing a flag, and the referee's going to kind of chuckle at you if you even dare think that there should have been a penalty called. So it was a totally different way of playing football, the way the game has evolved. No punishment to anybody, but obviously Drew Brees is the one that ends up on the short end of the stick with this.
Drew Brees' interception percentage was 2.3%. Roger Staubach was 104th in the league at 3.7%. So that's the last point I'll make. Is instead of just taking raw numbers, because you're right, it's you know, he's going to throw for more yards because they throw the ball more. There's more protection. There's this, there's that, there's the other. But when you just look at, like, interception percentage, it's just decision-making. Do you make the right decision? Do you make the right throw? Staubach wasn't as good as Drew Brees at that, and Drew Brees was.
Well, you know who the other guy is.
16th in the NFL all time, and
you know the other guy that should be questioned a lot in terms of numbers worthy of Hall of Fame, and the only thing that gets him in is the fact
Super Bowls.
That the Super Bowls is another Cowboy fans are going to hate me. But Troy Aikman's numbers, just standing on the merits of his numbers, and he's had to defend himself on Twitter when he gets all butthurt about it. But it's true. His pure numbers are nothing compared to the guys that are in the Hall, but his winning is what everybody saw and remembered him by, to where that helped him get in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, he had Michael Irvin, he had Emmitt Smith, he had a great offensive line, he had, you know, all of those things. And they were dominant, and it was them and the Niners, you know, that were the two dominant teams.
Yeah.
But at least Aikman is still in the top 40 or top 50 in passing yards and stuff like that. I mean, this is it's not that, and there are names in you know, the top 30 and top 40 that didn't play in this era, and I'm looking at them: Steve DeBerg, Jim Hart. I mean, these aren't guys that benefited from a pass happy league.
Right.
Johnny Unitas didn't benefit from a pass happy league, so you can't make the excuse of the era if other guys are doing the same thing and earning their spot on the top 100 or earning their spot in the Hall of Fame. But I'm with you, Troy Aikman. It's not the sexiest pick in the world, but I do understand it because, boy, they were dominant during his era, you know. And
you don't want to punish a guy for the players around him, right?
I mean, right.
Every circumstance is different, but you can't be punishing him because he happened to have two of the greatest at their position ever, and like you said, a well-rounded roster that won on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
All right, well, wow, already flying through the first 2 hours of the show. Still got 1 hour left. That means 60 minutes on the clock. When we come back, we'll take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. You keep it tuned right here, ESPN 97.5. Like that. I want to be just like a
king. Take my picture by the... You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.